This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following is a free preview of the Doughboys Double, our premium episodes available at patreon.com/doughboys. This is the first edition of Pilot Program, our recurring series where we review famous TV pilots. In this episode, we tackle Cheers with our friend Maggie Monahan. Enjoy! Welcome to Doughboys Double. I'm Nick Weiger, along with the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell, who is still in the City of Angels. Your promised departure has not yet transpired. You are still on the left coast.
Wow, sounds like somebody wants me gone.
I don't want you gone. I don't care where you are, honestly. It doesn't make a difference to me. We're doing everything through Zoom.
Yeah, that's true. I'm still here, Weigs. I haven't left yet. A delay.
But I'm going. Booking work.
Yeah.
That you can't leave. You want to leave LA, and now all of a sudden you're getting these big Hollywood jobs you can't turn down.
Let's just say things for me this next year are going to get a little chewy.
Oh, man. I would love. What a big swing that would be if they reboot. Disney does the reboot, and they're like, we're getting rid of the tall Scandinavian guy we cast to replace Peter Mayhew. We're just using Mitch as himself. No makeup, no suit.
And then me, who gave all the Star Wars sequels a hard time all these years.
Yeah.
I get to take it. Why? Because I would be on the wrong end of it.
You'd get some backlash for once. Or maybe people would love it.
Or maybe
people would be like, this is the Star Wars of old.
Guess what, you freaks? Chewie would be good. I'd make it good.
Chewie's already good. Chewie's not. If you have a problem with the new Disney Star Wars, is Chewie's not the problem. Chewie's doing great.
Wags, we got. Yes, I agree with you. Chewie's great. But I got some breaking news. We got to go over this. We have to talk about it quickly.
Yes.
That the Mexican pizza and shredded chicken are getting taken off the Taco Bell menu.
Outrageous.
Everyone's texting me about it. Everyone's upset.
Yeah.
Outrageous. I mean, this is just, it's too much. This is the final straw, Wags. What the hell?
Truly, truly baffling decisions from Taco Bell and its parent company, Yum Brands. No idea quite what they're doing. A rudderless ship. It's
a bridge too far.
More like a fridge too far.
What is a bridge too far? I mean, does that mean like the bridge went too long and then people driving off of it?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Or it's too far away. You can't get there.
Fucking
hey, you want to go visit the Golden State Bridge? The Golden Gate Bridge? Too far. That's a bridge too far. I'm not making that drive.
I agree with that.
And yeah. I'm
in the same state as it. Too far.
It's true. Well, Mitch, our guest may have some opinions on this. I actually don't know, but we're thrilled to have her.
I want to quickly say,
yes,
that we have to have a word for when it's like tragic chews. You know what I mean?
Doesn't tragic chews work?
Yeah, I guess tragic chews it is.
Breaking chews and tragic chews.
There's breaking chews that our guests will like. Well, we'll see. Do your intro thing, Weiger.
Wait, what's this? There's positive breaking chews?
Well, I mean, it depends. You might think it's tragic chews. Well, Dano was just telling me about it.
Okay, we'll get into this. We'll get into this now. She's a writer from Crossing Swords on Hulu and Earth to Ned, which is now streaming on Disney Plus. Maggie Monahan is here. Hi, Maggie.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.
You are in New England right now.
I'm in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts.
Wow.
Wow.
The Shrews.
Bruce.
I don't know if anyone calls it that, but I thought I would give it a try.
So Shrewsbury is a suburb of Worcester, which is in the heart of Massachusetts.
Wow.
Worcester, my sister went to Assumption College in Worcester, so I know Worcester.
Mm-hmm.
I know Worcester well.
Yes.
It is quite the city. I mean, now I feel like Worcester is, it's gotten nicer, right? Like, I feel like there's a...
There was like a really cool Korean restaurant that I went to, and unfortunately, like, lots of stuff right now, it closed. So that would be Sad Shoes, I believe.
Yeah, that's
Tragic Chews. Yeah.
I've been pleasantly surprised every time I come home. They have a few more cooler things here and there, and then also just like the classics too. So,
well,
how about Chews You Can Lose? It's like that's so like I don't want anything to do with that. That's bad. That's Chews I Could Lose.
It sounds like. Is that based on Shoes You Can Lose? Is that based on something shopping wise? It's not. It seems weird.
Well, there's News You Can Use. So I was kind of doing a double pun of Shoes You Can Lose.
Yeah, no, the double pun, Wags.
Okay, that's a bridge too far.
You never double pun it, babe.
You hear that in Act One, and then in Act Three, someone finally double puns it and pulls it off, and that's how they save the day.
Hey, babe, welcome to SNL. You never double pun it, babe.
Wow, Dennis Miller.
That was some of his sage advice in the 80s when he went into the... Did Miller go into the 90s? Did he get 1990? Was he... I think he
maybe
he was.
Yeah, he was still... I think in the early 90s, and then...
Kevin Nealon took over.
Yeah, Kevin Nealon took over. That's right. I was trying to remember, think of who was between him and Norm.
Kind of a forgotten Weekend Update news anchor.
Nealon was great.
He was great. I liked Nealon too.
Delightful.
Okay, what are you going to say? Because I got to get to the breaking chews. I was going to say.
That's what I was going to do. I wanted to talk about, Maggie, are you a Taco Bell fan at all?
I'm not. I'm ambivalent. I'm ambivalent.
All right, that's good.
Wow. See, that's the single pun, Wags.
That's how you do it.
But unfortunately, Maggie, because of that, I'm going to have to make like AOL and goodbye.
Mitch, you can't kick out our guests just for not liking Taco Bell.
I'm just going to stay silently for the rest of the episode.
No, Maggie, please speak all you want. So you don't have strong feelings about Taco Bell. Then what is the other bit of chews that we want to get to, Mitch? What's the other thing that we could maybe have a reaction to?
I love Taco Bell, just to be clear to everyone, but also I'm very upset.
People know.
I'm very upset about this news. It's bad news. Anyways.
Yes.
Dano texted me this morning, 7:30 a.m. DD pushing stuffed cream cheese fucking bagels the size of munchkins.
Wow.
My response, 11:22 a.m. That's an atrocity, I say. Dano says, I'm intrigued. Oh, God, Siri got in the way. Dano says, I'm intrigued. That is what conservatives said about munchkins, which made me laugh. And I said, I'm intrigued, too. And I said, you know I'm intrigued. But he mentioned that DD new stuff is usually bad. And I do agree with him that Dunkin' Donuts, when they have like a new thing like that, it's usually not great. But I have had, after he told me this, I remember that I did have... like cream cheese stuffed bagels back when I was in Boston, like the like munchkin sized cream cheese stuffed bagels.
Yeah.
And they were good. I forget the exact brand. I'll look them
up. I think that was a Shark Tank product, if I remember.
That's right. Is that why did I get them for my sister or something? I don't know, but I had them and I liked them.
Yeah, they're clearly very processed, but they're not bad.
Are they frozen? What? How did they come?
They come frozen. Yeah, they come frozen. Then you toss them in the oven. I think that I had the Bantam bagels.
Okay. Yes, I think that is the Shark Tank product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same one that's in the Starbucks stores now, I think.
Oh, that's right. They have them in Starbucks next to the sous vide egg bites.
Yep.
Do you have the?
Did we eat them for the show?
You did with Jessica Chaffin.
Yes, we did eat them for the show.
We did have them for the show.
We
okay.
are fucking dumb.
I just listened to that episode as I was like, I went for a bike ride and I listened to that episode and it felt like this may be a part two to that episode.
Wow. Can I ask you, did it make the bike ride feel longer?
No, it was actually quite nice. It was distracting me from all of the Trump signs that I was biking past.
Oh, no.
So it was like, there's good people, right?
Wow. What the hell is going on in Shrewsbury? It's that Western Mass. I mean, even though Worcester is barely Western.
It's just old white people who've right. never seen anyone that doesn't look like them except like on the MTVs or something like that.
Is that really? Because people always give crap to Massachusetts, of course, because mm-hmm. I'm the host of the podcast, but the one and only host. Weiger's kind of just like a guest every week.
I start the show. I introduce you.
Anyway, mostly a Democratic state, so that is that's a surprise to me that you're biking through a bunch of Trump signs.
You'll run into that in rural California, which is as blue a blue state as they come. Mm. I mean, that's just an urban rural divide, which takes place in every state in the nation.
Similar vibe for sure.
Well, I know the first thing and first stop I'm making when I'm back there, Shrewsbury Wags.
Oh no, Mitch!
It's clobbering time.
Oh, okay.
What the hell did you think I was going to go celebrate? What the fuck?
I thought you maybe thought Shrewsbury was a pie.
There are excellent pies in Worcester.
Wow. There's
tabletop pies. And they make big pies, but they also make little single serve pies. And they're a dog.
Damn.
I love those mini pies. Those are fun.
I got a new first stop when I go back to Massachusetts.
The pie factory?
It's slobbering time? I don't know.
They've already got your picture with a do not admit sign underneath it.
I'm going to get under the conveyor belt. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, That's what they're worried about. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah, well, I mean, if they have pie runoff, I could help.
I want to go back to Dunkin' Donuts because, you know, obviously a big New England chain. Maggie, do you have any particular fondness for Dunkin'?
I do. I mean, it's just like, I'm sure with Mitch too, just like growing up, it's everywhere. And I would be dragged to Catholic Mass at 7:30 in the morning. Mm. There would be donuts afterwards. Different families would take turns like bring in donuts for your, I don't know, your Christ debrief. I don't know what it was. And just like in high school, like the cool kids who had cars would get like an iced coffee, but it'd be in the winter time. So they get a styrofoam cup to put the iced coffee in because it was all just like cream and sugar and stuff. Right.
Yep.
I was like a big fan of the Dunkachino, a big fan of the white hot chocolate.
Wow.
And I don't think the coffee is good.
Wow.
Interesting.
I actually think the coffee is still good. Like, it is one of the things that I think they actually still do well. I think the donuts and the bagels can be, we've talked about this before, feel a little bit more processed than they once did and can mm-hmm. definitely go all over the place with quality wise. But I think that I'm a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I'm a Stan, Wags.
Well, you're not much of a coffee drinker, but if you get coffee, Dunkin' is one of your go-tos.
Is it good that I use Stan now, probably 2 years after people started using it?
Yeah, it's a useful marker for letting people know that you shouldn't say Stan anymore. I actually do like Dunkin' Donuts myself, coffee myself as well. And I'm a big time coffee drinker. Hey, I've got a travel mug of Joe I'm sipping on right now as we record. And every morning for me. And so I think Dunkin's pretty good. I think the regular coffee is pretty good. And I think it's them and McDonald's in the same way that they both have similarly good breakfasts. I feel like their coffees are the same sort of level at that price point.
Everybody held up coffee when you did that, except me. I don't got a coffee.
Yeah, you're not a big coffee drinker.
Yeah, but I like it.
On occasion, what
I would hold up? You know what was my old drink at Dunkin' was a strawberry culotta.
Now, what is the difference between, Maggie just oohed there, what is the difference between the culotta and the Dunkachino?
The culotta is just like a Slurpee.
Okay, got it.
It's just ice and whatever, like juice, and then blend it up.
Got it.
Tequila, and it'd probably be pretty good.
It would be, I mean, like, it's not really a smoothie, it is just kind of like But like marketed as kind of like a morning, kind of a morning drink. I think it's just like, oh, it's a hot summertime. Get a culotta was kind of what the marketing was on it.
I bet it was a predecessor of like the Starbucks refreshers.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was also Slurpee is basically kind of a good, kind of a good description of it, but it was high in calories and high in sugar.
Yeah. Just corn syrup.
I mean, bad for you, but they are tasty. I mean like that, they were damn good. And when I was a kid and I'd walk down a Dunkin' Donuts with me and my buddies when I was probably like 12 or something, we get a bagel or a breakfast sandwich and a culotta. It was a dream, Wags.
Now you just culotta. I assume I mean, from your description, obviously comes cold. The Dunkachino, I think you can get hot or iced. Which direction do you go?
I think I've only ever had it hot, but a Dunkachino is a half hot chocolate, half coffee.
Oh, that's fun.
And
that's delightful.
Would recommend making it at home for yourself. It's just like, I mean, essentially it's like a mocha.
Right.
There's something I don't hate Dunkin' Donuts coffee, but there's other coffee I prefer more because I like a really strong black coffee.
Right.
Whereas Dunkin' Donuts is built to serve you cream and sugar. And is a vehicle for those things in my mind.
A great vehicle.
Excellent. Like I went and picked up my mom a coffee the other day, and to get to say medium regular is like, whoo, it's like great, so much fun.
the regular by default it has cream and sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
I generally take my coffee black, like in pretty much all contexts, but have had it with the cream and sugar at Dunkin' because I know that's what they're known for.
You'd have to say I don't know if things have changed over time, if things have changed over times, but if you order a Dunkin', yeah, it comes like medium cream and sugar, right? Like, isn't it like two creams and two sugars basically? Or
wow.
Yeah.
Did you have friends that worked at Dunkin' Donuts growing up?
Oh yeah, my sister worked there for a short time. She was
all
she
three
was
of you time. Nodded. I guess it's just such a ubiquitous thing in New England.
Oh yeah,
it's like working at the grocery store or something. It's the same thing. Like everybody's job in high school was Shaw's or Dunkin' Donuts.
But then I like really learned about like what everything went into it. But my friend Ryan worked at a Dunkin' Donuts on Route 20, which is a major trucking route. But then it got bought or like subsidized by a this chain called the Sip and Scratch.
Hell yeah.
Because they sell lotto tickets.
Okay.
But it sounds just like...
Yeah, it sounds disgusting.
No, it's so gross. It's not a good idea, but
no.
It's like on the money for what Dunkin' Donuts is.
There was another coffee place called Coffee Break, which my sister loved, but then kind of like cooler, like kind of like more popular and like pretty girls worked there. And so, you know, I'm not going to fucking waddle in there and order up a fucking big bagel and a coffee.
You're describing some sort of like Hooters version of Dunkin'?
No, it wasn't these were high school.
I thought the way you pitched it, I thought you were talking about them using sex appeal to sell, but that's not what was going on.
No, I was just saying that the popular pretty girls worked there.
Okay, just by coincidence.
Yeah, it wasn't a Hooters, you freak.
Well, I didn't know. You made a point of describing the appearance of the employees.
Then I said that the pretty... All right, Maggie, what were you going to say?
There is a coffee Hooters in Massachusetts. Well, not Hooters, but it's called Mary Lou's.
I know Mary Lou's.
And it is... They might not be as overt as Hooters, but they definitely use pretty girls to sell coffee.
Yeah.
Wow.
They use...
Mary Lou's, it's called?
Mary Lou's.
Hold on, I'm just going to Google this real quick.
Whoa.
Are you going to get out of here? I got to go.
He's got a plane ticket booked. He's going to be in Quincy before I am. Yes, to see all these high school, may I remind you, all these high school women who work there.
Well, not at Mary Lou's, right? This is a different concept.
No, Mary Lou's also has a lot of... It's usually young.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like, it's young. It's, I mean, there are older women who work there too, but it is usually a lot of young kids. But Mary Lou's opened. Mary Lou's opened later. I was never. I think I've been into Mary Lou's, but I never really got Mary Lou's.
Wow.
One in what? Hyannis.
Do you say Hyannis? Mm-hmm. Why? Do you know Hyannis?
No. What is that?
It's where you get the ferry to the vineyard.
I'm scared now.
It's very beautiful. You should go.
So pivoting from coffee, what are the other, Maggie, what are your other, some of your favorite New England eats? What are things, chain or otherwise, that make you think of home?
Well, so one thing I've been, a great summer beer that is not for everyone, and I know that, is a Wachusett blueberry.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It is.
May I quickly just say, Wachusett. We've sang this on the podcast before. Wachusett mountain skiing minutes away.
Yeah. Wachusett mountain.
Why is just staring ahead?
Do you know, it's not a jingle. It's I didn't grow up there, but do you recognize that jingle, Maggie?
Yeah. It's from Wachusett mountain.
Wow.
There's a Wachusett mountain is connected to like so many other food things in and around this area. Cause the Crowleys own Wachusett. And the Crowleys also, I believe, are involved with Polar Seltzer, which is a big regional.
Oh, yeah.
And is now available in nationwide in the CVS that I go to in LA.
Wow.
Yeah, I've had Polar before. It's fine. It's just fine.
Wait, hold on. What?
I've had Polar before.
It's just fine?
It's just fine.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm saying it's just fine.
You drank it in my house, first of all.
It's good. What do you want
from
me?
In Quincy, Massachusetts. Probably when you were telling my mom that the bed was uncomfortable or some bullshit. This isn't even a bit. This is real.
The bed, it's not good. You live here?
Wags, do you remember this?
I had to sleep in your childhood bed, and it was a little uncomfortable.
That's where I'm about to go sleep for a long time.
You're going to sleep in your childhood? Isn't it like a twin bed?
No, it was a full.
Oh, okay.
It's probably fucking crusted over, I'm sure, after you were in there.
All right. It's it was not the most comfortable sleeping arrangement. It was very lovely of your mom to host us. But yeah, I did. I don't know. I wasn't complaining about it. I was just saying I didn't get the best night's sleep.
He fucking let my mom know about it the next morning. Fucking asshole.
I don't stay at people's houses very often, okay?
Well, fucking learn to keep your trap shut, you fucking fool.
Wait, so what? Where do we? How do we get here? We were talking about something else.
Talking about just a Polar Seltzer.
Oh yeah, Polar Seltzer. Yeah. So the
so rude to Mike's mom.
She likes me. We had a lovely time.
Nah.
We had some nice conversations.
Not anymore. She doesn't.
So Polar Seltzer, but what else? What are some of the other New England faves?
And then so another Wachusett product that I love and my family sends me all the time is this brand of chips called Wachusett chips.
You mentioned these in advance of the record. I'm very intrigued.
Had I had time, I would send you some, but I will bring some to LA just for you to have.
Wow.
So they are, a local thing. I think Utz maybe like owns the company now. I think they got bought up. But the one that is like sense memory, like big time for me is the sour cream and onion, which comes in this bag that is like, it just looks like someone designed it in the 50s and they never changed it. Mm. And it doesn't taste like real anything, but that just like powdery, like, chip that has ridges and it's excellent with any sandwich. And recently my dad bought me some, opened them and then vacuum sealed them to take all the air out so he could get more in the box to mail me in LA.
Wow.
They come in a bunch of different flavors, but like my family's crest perhaps should be that. And I actually had we would have it at my grandparents' house every Saturday. We'd go over and like all my cousins, sandwiches, deli meat, and then we'd have these chips. So it's a very like nice kind of family thing. And I actually had, I had someone paint a picture of the bag of chips for my dad. My grandma passed away not too long ago, and it was just like a little like nice thing for him to have in his kitchen. I have it in my kitchen too. That's how much I love these chips.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'll send you guys the picture. It came out beautiful. She did a great job.
That's a great tribute. And also I don't have any sort of connection, like maybe not to a food stuff. Like that seems as intense as that, like a familial bond over a chip brand. That's fascinating.
It's so local too. Like even my cousins, we were spending a lot of time together. Everybody was in town after my grandma's funeral, and like at every family function we went to, everyone would make like buy those chips and bring them to them. So it was this kind of weird.
Just to be clear, they're Utz chips, correct?
No, they're Wachusett.
Wachusett chips. Oh, wow. I don't even know Wachusett chips.
I think they like, I mean, I've never seen them outside of Worcester, probably like Worcester County. But they're delicious. Mm. And they're like, I don't know if they're good. But to me, I think.
Oh, seeing the packaging, I definitely have had Wachusett chips.
Okay. Yeah. Very tasty. And just nice. They're great. They make me think of home, and they make me think of lots of like fun times when I was a little kid.
Based on your description, I'm certain they're great, and they're ridged. You're saying,
yes, they're
like a ripple chip.
They're ridged.
I love a ripple chip. Mitch, where do you stand on ridges?
Give me the regular chip, even though I ridges can be fun.
Come on, you don't like ridges? Ridges are great.
You know what? I just figured out. And this makes sense that I went to Utz. Wachusett is a subsidiary. Oh my God. Why can't I say anything? I'm a fool.
Subsidiary. Subsidiary.
Let's take this again and pretend it never happened.
Okay.
Subsidiary. Shut up, fool. Subsidiary.
Yes, Mitch. Well said.
So hold on. Wachusett chips are a subsidiary of Utz mm-hmm. chips.
Yes. Yeah, Maggie said that up top.
Then I found nothing out at all.
That's all right.
And I just made a fool of myself.
But Mitch, I wanted to say this. This will interest you. Wachusett Potato Chip Company was originally founded in Clinton, Massachusetts.
All right. Welcome to Clinton, Massachusetts.
Oh boy, Bill Clinton's here. Bill, because it's your namesake, I guess you might be have an interest in this particular town.
That's right. I call it the Little St. James of the Commonwealth.
Oh no. Oh Mitch. Oh Mr. Clinton. Mr. President.
Oh Mitch, why'd you say that?
I was wondering if Mitch was around.
Why'd you say all that? Why'd you say that?
Well, you went to the bathroom. I wanted you to come over here so you could see that President Clinton was dropped into the studio.
He's here. He sees it. He knows what's happening.
You know what I
would do if I could redesign Massachusetts?
What's that, Mr. President?
I'd straighten out that tip of it, make it erect.
Oh boy.
Cape Cod would be a rod. Cape Rod.
Bill, that's far too horny.
Yeah, maybe I'm being a little too horny this time. All right, see you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Clinton is actually where my dad's side of the family is from. And like,
wow.
Wow.
My grandma grew up in a house that somebody in our family built in like the 1880s in Clinton.
That's amazing.
These people don't leave.
My dad and my mom's family all from Quincy.
Yeah.
People stick around. Wags, they found heaven. Why leave?
You know, same thing happens in Southern California.
Now
you get three
know.
Generations here. People love it. The weather's idyllic. They don't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't one of those generations walk it slowly in front of a train?
That was in the 19th century, and that was not in California. But yes, my great-great-grandfather did commit suicide by walking in front of a slow-moving train in front of a crowd of horrified onlookers who all shouted no in unison. And then his obituary was written up in the St. Louis Post the next day.
It's fucked up that I laugh at that, but then also
he would have liked it.
It seems like he was a bit of an attention whore.
And Weiger is obsessed with choo-choos.
Maggie shared the painting of the Wachusett chips. It's a sour cream and onion varietal with a little flower next to it and a tabletop. A great, great little rendering. We'll share this on our social media. And you have this hanging in your home?
Yeah, it's done by this artist named Jillian Hunt with a G. And I met her through my time and working in Hollywood. And yeah, I have it at my house. My dad has one too. It's just little chips make us think of my grandparents and lots of good times. So I just,
awesome.
I always look forward to getting them when I'm home.
Wow. That rules.
Wow.
And I'm going to have to get some Wachusett chips when I'm back east.
Wachusett chips, Wachusett beer,
mm-hmm.
anything you want. Wachusett.
I love it.
Wah, 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 Wachusetts, right, Mitch?
That's right, Wags.
I can talk the talk.
Mm-hmm.
So
I want to say that North Quincy High School football, when I played, we went to go back to Hyannis. I was trying to find the score for a long time. But we went down and played Barnstable and got our asses kicked.
Mm.
Just like I've said this before, but Wags, the first time I ever got in, did I ever say this before? The first time I ever got into a scrimmage for North Quincy High School football, like I came over.
Is this involve an assistant coach shouting something from the sidelines?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you've told the story. I've told too many stories on here.
It's, you know, it's what happens when you do a podcast for long enough. You only have a deep enough well of stories. Eventually, you're going to start repeating yourself. Tell it again. Why not? It's fun.
I got into the game and the assistant coach yelled, "Get Mitchell out of there. He's going to get himself killed," which I heard in the game as I was about to play.
Did you get killed?
Yeah. It was a Beetlejuice scenario, though. I came back.
Oh, boy. That's nice. I didn't realize you'd seen the other side.
What was your school? What's North Quincy's mascot?
Yeah. Oh, moving on. Well, this is breaking news. Wags, the mascot's been changed. You know this.
Yes.
We haven't talked about it, but the Yak, it was the Yaku. It was the North Quincy High School Red Raiders. It was the Yaku. The Yaku was problematic. And so just recently, they updated the North Quincy Yaku, and I wonder if I can find a picture of it. Here it is. Here we go. This is on Boston.com in the Boston Globe. Mm. This is real news over there, Wise.
Yes.
This is real, the real deal.
They basically, as Mitch is sharing this, they basically took a pretty crude and offensive Native American caricature and retconned it into being a patriot.
So basically, this is it now. This is the Yaku now. But he was holding a hammer. He like was dressed as a. I wonder if I can find the old picture of him. But the thing to me that's funny, it's not funny, but it's basically like the character is just dressed up in a new costume now.
They just changed his wardrobe. Yeah, it's like a different themed Barbie.
So this is what it was. Here's a side by side.
Yeah, not great. Yeah.
Oh, but that's Massachusetts for you. They're like, we're not going to change it. Wait, let's give them a different shirt.
here it is. They lightened his skin up, and this is hard to talk about. This is bad news.
Yeah,
I honestly did not know any of this.
Not your fault. A big old beehive in Quincy, Massachusetts. It's Quincy's fault.
I think if you bring up any high school mascot, there's like a 1 in 3 chance of it being wildly offensive.
Yeah,
I that's interesting. So my Shrewsbury High School, where I went, is the Colonials, but I have T-shirts and stuff from high school still, and he is a scary looking white dude. He's like,
wow.
Oh, that guy killed a lot of Native people.
Yeah,
as you know, just someone who's trying to like be more thoughtful, and I'm like walking around LA wearing my like Shrewsbury Colonials thing, I was like, is that good? Like, I'd be curious to think what you guys think, because it's like, well, those are anyone who lived in the colonies were colonials, but
right.
I just think animals. Every mascot should be an animal.
Animals.
Animals can't get mad. Animals, just like turkeys, vultures. They're only awful birds.
It saves. That's all. That's all you gotta do. It's you're set.
Hey, I was speaking of animals. If we're talking high school mascots. My high school mascot, the Long Beach Poly High Jackrabbits. There you go. Everyone can enjoy that.
Of course, fucking jackrabbits.
Let me share this image with everybody.
Is it a jackrabbit humping the knee of the other team?
No, it's not, Mitch. It's not a horny jackrabbit. Here we go.
Jackrabbits are horny.
All right, I just shared a Google search with you. You can see this guy. He's kind of like a kind of Looney Tunes character to him. They've redesigned the logo since I've been there. He's wearing a Letterman's jacket.
He's got a fucking Wags attitude to him.
He's got a toot.
He's like,
I'm not grumpy.
Bad boy.
I am a bad boy. All right, if that's what you mean, yeah, then yes, I absolutely relate to this bad boy.
Yeah. Yeah, this, honestly, I didn't realize right until now, but the old school Shrewsbury High School colonial looks like, what's his name? Edward James Olmos?
Wow.
Wags, I'm looking at the motto of the poly, and we fuck and we suck, but we don't suck like that.
Yeah, but it's in Latin, so you kind of butchered it. Just reading the translation, it sounds a lot less elegant. We're looking at the colonial now. The colonial.
Oh, hey, yeah.
This looks like that. It's the styling of the old school Tampa Bay Buccaneer logo. You know what I'm talking about? Where it was a little bit more hand drawn.
I feel like that his hat is too heavy. It's basically an early helmet. It almost makes sense. He is a little scary, but he looks a little like the Quaker Oatman.
The version I have on my t-shirt, it must have been like a short-lived version, because this is the version that's been around since like the 70s, like my that's been around forever. So I don't know, but he's very I don't know. I'm just scared of him.
Any menace just comes more from what he represents. Like, this guy in and of himself just looks like a normal guy. But then when you actually think about it, then, yeah, I 100% get that. Mitch, listeners, did you know learning actually makes a sound? It's true. Listen to this. That's the sound of you learning a new language with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. And Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations.
Wow. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Mitch, you know what I love about Babbel is the courses are convenient. They help me learn real-life conversation skills in my chosen language, Spanish. Makes it easier to order food, ask for directions, speak to people here in Los Angeles without having to consult language apps while you're on the go.
Well, Wags, studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
And you don't want to go anywhere near a college campus these days with all those protests.
No, thanks.
Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Wags, and all those protesters out there, here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at Babbel.com/Doughboys.
Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/Doughboys, spelled Babbel.com/Doughboys. Rules and restrictions may apply. Hey, Mitch, I feel like during the summer, pretty much everything I'm doing outdoors is making me thirsty.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the issue is. That blasted sun.
Curse the sun.
Curse the sun.
Giver of life, but also
giver of heat.
Giver of a dehydrator in chief, I'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Summer requires extraordinary hydration because of the sun. That's built for everyday dehydrating moments. Yes.
The moon is cool.
Moon's real cool. When the moon is out, there's never a doubt. The moon is cool.
And when the sun's up high, you can't deny it's gonna be hot, 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 hot. Hot, 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 hot. Anyways, I think that we've expressed that the sun gets you hot in the summertime. Sure
does, and the moon keeps you cool. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
With three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus eight vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America.
Wags, that's right. And you know what? It's so easy to just tear open a packet of Liquid IV, pour it into a cup, mix it up with some ice cold water, and drink it down. My favorite flavor, strawberry.
It's a hydration multiplier.
That's right.
Gets you even more hydrated, and it's easier to stay hydrated while traveling. And you know what, Mitch? We like the taste.
I love the taste. And you know what? I love that I'm getting all those electrolytes, and I'm not getting filled up with sugars.
Yeah. I love the smell, too, and it helps you out, not just while traveling, but after a big night out. You know what I mean.
Come on.
The moon is cool.
Cool.
The moon is cool. Cool. Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone.
And Wise, it's got three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, eight vitamins and nutrients, non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and now sugar-free. We got white peach,
wow,
green grape,
wow, raspberry melon, and lemon lime.
That's right, Wags. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DOUGHBOYS at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code DOUGHBOYS at liquidiv.com.
I love Liquid IV. You know why?
Why?
Because it's cool. Cool.
And the sun is hot. Oh boy, Mitch, Mother's Day's coming up. You got sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. Mm. Unfortunately, Mother's Day gifts can be a little predictable and boring. That's why an Aura frame is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Dreaded bathrobe covering mom up? Ugh.
Get that sweater off of you. Too many layers.
Wags, that's right. You know what? I'm guilty. I've given my mom too many of these boring gifts.
Yes.
Some sweaters, some candles, some dreaded bathrobes.
I've accidentally given my mom the same gift twice.
Wow.
It's really embarrassing. Or you end up getting like, oh, I guess I'll give you a gift card. I don't, you know, it doesn't feel like there's any love behind that.
Well, guess what, Wags? I've also gifted my mom an Aura frame. That's right.
Wow.
This is the truth. Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected and come with unlimited storage so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to mom's frame.
Not only will she be grateful it's not another sweater, she'll also love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
That's right. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code DOUGHBOYS at checkout to save. And you know what, Wags? My mom liked her Aura frame so much. Is this true? She got my sister one, and now my sister's got one in her dining room.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Terms and conditions apply. Send photos you want from your phone to mom's frame. In fact, Mitch, I'm going to send your mom a photo right now.
The hell?
Enjoy, Mrs. Mitchell.
I love you, Mommy.
I love you, Mommy.
You're talking to your mom, right?
Yeah. But hey, speaking of all this New England talk, Mitch, we got to get into our topic for this episode. A show set in New England, set in the city of Boston.
Wow.
Cheers. It's the first edition of, this is your idea, Mitch, the Doughboys Pilot Program.
Doughboys Pilot Program. You are now free to lie above your couch tree.
So you came up with this idea. You had ample time. You knew we were going to do it. You had ample time to come up with a catchphrase. That's what you landed on.
You are now free to lie about your... You're now free to lie about your...
Just say subsidiary again.
Subsidiary. Strategery.
So this is a periodic thing we'll be doing on the Doughboys Double, where we will be watching a pilot for a, I don't know, maybe some will be heralded shows, maybe some will be long-running shows, maybe some will be pilots that never got greenlit. Who knows? Who knows what the future holds? But we're starting with
a big one.
This
is exciting, Wags. It's exciting.
It's a great premise. It's a good idea. It could be a pilot. This could be a podcast in and of itself.
First of all.
Someone probably already does that, actually.
I pitched the pilot program forever.
Yeah.
I said, Doughboys pilot program. You fucking pushed it off forever, you piece of shit. You never want to do it.
I was down to do it.
Then just this week you said, how about the Doughboys pilot program 2 days ago? And I said, sure. So I didn't have time to fucking come up with the slogan, all right?
I'm not solely responsible for scheduling these episodes and deciding what the premise is. This is a collaboration.
You fucking love to you love to be in control, Wags.
We share control.
You're a regular Diane.
I'm not. How dare you? I'm no Diane.
Oh, you're 100% Diane.
If I'm the Diane, then you're the Sumner.
Ugh.
So the pilot for Cheers is Give Me a Ring Sometime. That's the official title. Directed by James Burrows, written by Glenn and Les Charles, who won an Emmy for the script for this episode, and premiered September 30th, 1982, just days before a newborn Mike Mitchell squirmed out of his mommy's womb and into our world.
Wah, I want to watch Cheers. That's how I came out. I already missed the first episode. I was pissed off.
Stop crying, son. DVRs don't exist yet, but it'll rerun someday. So we should honestly start with the Cheers theme. I mean, there's just like maybe the best theme in all of
TV.
In all of TV. I mean, what's better than the Cheers theme?
I think Golden Girls and Cheers are really right on the same level.
Wow, Golden Girls is very good.
They're absolutely right on. They're both there. They're neck and neck. I mean, I like the Simpsons theme too. That's a good one. The very bombastic, a different sort of vibe. But, but Cheers is just so great, and it's such a mood. And I think is also just a song that stands on its own and does not need any sort of association. It's not like just nostalgia for the thing you're about to watch. It's just legitimately a good song. Let's play some of this.
Today
takes everything you got.
Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away?
Oh, this is the wrong one.
The check is in the mail. I know this part. And it's caught up by the tail.
This is the full song.
Your fiance didn't show.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Ah, God, it's so good.
And they're always glad you came. You want
to
be where you can see.
All
troubles
day.
Are all the same.
The top comment on that YouTube video was, who else came here from the Applebee's ad? I guess people now only know the Cheers theme via an Applebee's
Jesus
campaign.
Jesus Christ.
It's depressing.
Gross.
Anyway, so a great theme song. I'll just say this. Watching this pilot, which I must have seen at some point in the past, but I just it had been so long, and I'd never really like watched it. It's just like, I'm just going to watch this as a pilot. Aside from how efficient it is at giving a bunch of exposition and backstory, I was just like, it just made me want to hang out in a bar. I was like, man, fuck, I'm really pining for that experience. Not getting drunk, which I can sadly do on my own in my own apartment. But just like the experience of being like in this place with other people, not even necessarily people I know, but just like being around that vibe, that energy of like the low-key dive bar. It's just like, I was really craving that.
So the cold open is, you say we should start with the intro, which is amazing. And that intro is fantastic. And also the images that go with the intro, just it works so well. It's just the perfect intro. But that cold open is really good. That kid is a pretty good actor. The kid who tries to come in and get a beer is just a funny little segment, and you're off and running.
It's just like a self-contained little joke. It's like the kind of thing that you'll see in, you know, sometimes the Sunday comic in the newspaper, where we'll have those two panels in advance. That's just its own isolated joke. That's kind of what it feels like.
You're saying how I was born. The kid who's in there, his ID says he's 38, the young kid, which I'm about to turn.
Wow.
And he was born in 44, which makes me think, so 82 is now today's 44, which is insane.
No.
Yeah, he was born in 44.
Does not sound like the same amount of time. I guess it is.
Brain-breaking math, Wigs.
It really is.
I love that cold open so much.
It's really good.
When I went to school in Boston, not at Harvard. I went to Emerson, but with lots of other folks.
Hell yeah, Emma.
Emma did a shimmy as you said that.
And but we went to this bar one time, and my not 21-year-old friend said to the waitress, "Can I have a beer, please?" That's it. Not specified any kind. Just said, "Beer, please." And she was like, "Can I see your ID, please?" I dropped it and walked, just left. But it was like, yeah, that's, you would be like, "Have you ever ordered a beer like that?"
Right.
A beer.
How old? They were 18?
My friend, yeah, he's probably 19 or 20 or something.
Oh, wow.
You do see that though in movies sometimes, where it's like the non-specific order, where they're just like give me a beer or like whiskey, you know? I mean, it's just like it, and it's and then they'll just get it, and they'll like, it won't be, they won't ask how much it costs or anything. There won't be any of the interactions that take place in a normal transaction.
I'm starving. Can I get a meal? Thanks.
I think in movies and TV shows, it's so that they're not giving free advertisement.
That makes sense.
They can't be like, "I'll have a Coors," or whatever. So that's what people learn. You at a bar, you say, "Hello, one beer, please."
Right. Unless you're watching Pixels, where they make a point of ordering Crystal Skull vodka, because that was part of the cost of Dan Aykroyd appearing in the movie.
Anyway, the kid that you meet, he's a good
actor.
Just
a reminder, Gadfucks Hubert in Pixels.
The Charles brothers Burroughs is still going, right? Doesn't he still
Yeah, they were longtime collaborators, and Burroughs, I think, you know, maybe the most esteemed of all TV directors, certainly among multicam directors. They had a long running collaboration. Go on, Mitch.
Burroughs is still working in the industry today, which is crazy. I mean, I don't know why he'd even want to, but he still does it. And I was going to say, he's still considered a legend. But Wags, I got a question for you right off the top. And
please,
Maggie, you as well. But are you a Diane Stan or a Rebecca Checker?
I always, you know, here Rebecca was the Kirstie Alley character, who appeared in later seasons after the actor who played Diane left to pursue other things. I always, just because of where it hit me in the age and when it was airing, I watched more of the Kirstie Alley episodes.
Yeah.
So I guess I probably lean more Rebecca. But, you know, rewatch an older Cheers, I'm like, oh, Diane's character is really good.
Yeah,
and
it's funny.
She's great. What's the actor's name? I don't have it in front of me.
Shelley Long.
Yeah, Shelley Long.
That's right, Shelley Long. Yeah, Shelley Long's great.
Well, you know what? I think this is maybe the only episode of Cheers I've ever seen, but I've seen it multiple times because
The only episode you've seen?
Only episode I've ever seen.
Wow.
Because they use this pilot at film school as the pilot.
Yeah.
Excellent in terms of character entrances and exposition, and
yes, every character just comes in, and then it's crazy that they come in, they're established, and then that's what their character is for a decade. That's their character is that way for the next decade. I mean, obviously they change in different ways or whatever, but right off the bat, it's fucking crazy, and it rules. It's fantastic.
It's efficient, and there's a kind of thing where if, you know, the way, like, Carla, for instance, is introduced, if you could make that, like, a little bit more clunky and ham-fisted, and it would just feel like, all right, you're just dumping exposition in my lap, but it's written elegantly enough where it doesn't feel like just an exposition dump.
Coach Rules. Yes. And it was funny to hear him talking about a time when the Patriots were, like, known to kind of suck. Though they do that, they would go to the Super Bowl a few years later for the Super Bowl Shuffle and get destroyed. But these are like the Steve Grogan years, which, and Grogan was like the second or third best, well, third best quarterback. And I'm sure people have a lot of thoughts on that in Patriots history. But they talk about the Patriots. That's like a whole part of the plot line, is them talking about how whoever yes. they drafted a linebacker, and the linebacker is the team is going to suck or whatever. So it's funny to hear that. Different time, Wags.
Mm-hmm. Maggie, are you a Pats fan?
I am, unfortunately. Like, it's kind of like,
yeah.
Like, I have Pat swag, and I think it's just the cognitive dissonance of, this is where I'm from. This is my team. Who else am I going to root for? But, like, God damn it. Like, just every time. But I was really happy to hear that Jessica Chaffin had a great Julian Edelman story, because I have a good Julian Edelman.
Wow. Please share it.
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't there, but my boyfriend was working on a Puma shoot or something where Julian Edelman was the model. And we have a football that we would like throw around, because I like to do sports sometimes. And it disappeared, and then he came back and he brought me back a football that Julian Edelman signed. And he said Julian was so nice that, like, wow, a lower person on the totem pole at the shoot, and somebody else went over and said, "Hey man, would you sign my hat?" And Kevin said, "Oh yeah." I told him you're a big fan, and so I have a football. It says "Gotta Believe," Julian Edelman. And Kevin said he was just like so nice and so gracious, and, you know, wasn't bothered at all, because, you know, he's working. And so it just, yeah, made me really, really happy to know that, you know, taking time out of the day for the little people.
That's
great.
Also, this is a great transition into Sam. First of all, Sam is cool as a cucumber. You could accuse him maybe of being a little bit of a cad, Wags, right? I mean, he's a little bit of a...
He's horny.
He's horny. He's a ladies' man, but then also, like, he has tumultuous relationships. He's getting himself in trouble.
Right. Played by Ted Danson, of course.
Ted Danson, and he's
so, he, much, oh,
so
hair.
Much hair. And it's really it reflecting in the lights with today's new HD... Today's new HD TVs. What am I, fucking 70 years old?
I tell you, I'm a stand for today's new HD TVs.
His hair is really browned up. You can see it in the lights.
It's very brown.
Just the coolest guy there. He's cool as hell.
Have you ever met a bartender that?
No, I mean, I've never. I mean, I've met cool bartenders. Have I? There were a couple of Birds bartenders back in the day who were great. There's been some cool bartenders.
How about Emma Erdbrink, huh? She's pretty cool.
Emma is one of the cool.
I'm the coolest bartender.
Sorry, Emma. You lose to Sam.
Fair enough. I'll take that.
Sam is the coolest bartender of all time. He's also a former Red Sox. He's got a bar in Boston, and he's a former Red Sox reliever. I mean, this guy rules. He's also kind of like an open and, even though he's a ladies man, he's like an open and nice guy to a lot of people. He listens to people. He's great. Sam's great.
Sam is good.
Yes.
Just another bit of character detail. He's a recovering alcoholic. He's been sober for 3 years as of the pilot.
Yeah. A little bit of a Weiger detail. So.
There's I'm not recovering.
So the only things that I thought that Cliff was maybe like the most not fully formed, and maybe he was kind of this, and I don't know. I feel like I've read about it, but I don't know if Cliff was a was he originally just a guest star and then he stuck around? Yes. Because there's another guy. There's another guy that they're like, see you later, Ron. And I'm like, poor Ron didn't stick around. Ron does not make it.
Yeah, Cliff was, the idea was Norm was going to be kind of like the central regular, and then it ended up being Norm and Cliff as a duo. And then from what I read, Cliff was part of, you know, him and then Ron. And then a third character who you see in a couple of wide shots, but all of her lines were cut, was the older woman in the wheelchair. She apparently also was a regular, and then her like her character, and then Ron kind of like ended up not sticking around, but Cliff and Norm were fixtures, obviously.
And I also think that there's a couple moments in it where there's like that Diane has like a couple of like good grief moments where it's almost like there's one where she almost looks directly into camera, which is kind of but weirdly one of the only dated things in it, and something that like you don't really know Cheers for anyways, but there's one where she kind of like looks right, but there's fantastic jokes.
That was, I think Shelley Long had a very like theatrical kind of acting style opposed to everybody else who is very like natural, you know, of course, like had their beats for jokes and stuff, but she was like, I'm just here with my fiance. He is a professor. That acting style was a little like, oh, like just, it felt really theatery. Like,
right.
Yes, I think that her origin story works for me, like the fact of like, oh, that's like an interesting, fun way to get her into the show. But I agree with you that like there is like a lot of black. I mean, and it, obviously the whole set feels kind of like a theater set, which is a great thing about it. But she definitely feels like a black box, one person show at some point.
One thing I had about the logic of the plot of. So she's getting stood up and left by her fiance. And so at the end, she's like, okay, it's like a romantic storyline. And then she's like, but now I need a job. But
yeah.
A TA, you're a grad student, right? You don't, you're not just a TA. So I was like, she would just be like, we were dating and we broke up. So can I be someone else's TA? But they're like, what? To her neck, like it's like totally a different story. Oh, okay, like they just kind of adjusted it to be like I'm his assistant or something.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's not doesn't logically quite line up.
Maybe back in 1982 though, like the fucked up world of she'd be like, I was dating him and then he like left me, and they're like, well, you're no longer allowed to work here. I mean, there's a
there's a possibility
that the fucked upness of the 80s maybe would be an issue, but
or I'd buy that she just like couldn't bear to be around it or something.
I want to just go over a few jokes that I thought were great. So there's a joke where Ted Danson gets a call and basically he's trying to say he went out for a haircut.
Yes.
He said, he walked out for a haircut and he mimes all of it, and then Diane says he went to mime school, and I thought that was funny.
Yeah, she's making excuses for him on the phone, and he's silently communicating what he wants her to say.
Mm-hmm. And then here's another one that I liked. Well, first of all, the first Norm is very intense, by the way. They're like, oh, they really fucking yell it. It feels like they got into their groove later. Mm-hmm. But the sweatiest movie conversation was good. I liked that quite a bit. And then the joke that I thought was fantastic was the novel joke, where Coach has been working on a novel for 6 years, and she said, "Oh, you're right." And then Diane says, "You're writing a novel," and he says, "No, I'm reading one," which I thought was just great.
I really liked Rhea Perlman when she says, "I love to see a woman who's not afraid to take her luggage out for a drink."
Yeah,
I love mean Boston waitresses. They're the best.
Rhea Perlman is. I mean, there's so many great people on the show, and so it feels like all of them are kind of unsung because like you're always jumping around to the next one. But
yeah,
this is before we even got. There's no Frasier and no Woody yet because Coach passed away. Coach passes away about four or five seasons into the show, and Woody comes and Woody is great for like a replacement character.
Yeah, Woody's a good character. I felt like, and maybe I'm misremembering it, I'm gonna look it up now, but I felt like that, I thought Coach, the actor who played Coach died a little sooner than that, but maybe it was 4 to 5 seasons in. Anyway,
three
it
to
was,
four, maybe.
Yeah, it might have been something like that. But anyway, he's great, and his character game, if you want to call it that. Is that he's like very forgetful. He's like kind of like losing it a little bit. And so speaking of the coach joke I like is when they call and they ask for Ernie Pantuso on the phone. He answers the phone. They're like, is Ernie Pantuso there? And he asks around the room, is there an Ernie Pantuso here? And then Sam is like, that's you, coach. And then he's like, speaking. I was like, that's fun. That's a good joke.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. It was very delightful.
So the plot basically is that Sumner Sloan, we talked about how Diane is a TA, and the professor Sumner Sloan, they're going to elope together. And he's clearly much older than her, like 20 years older than her. Is going to get a ring from his ex-wife, so that he can give it to her, and then in so doing, ends up reconciling with his ex-wife, and Diane is left out to on her own. But this is a real, like, it is a thing where, like, that element, I feel like it would not be in, or if it was in a show these days, it'd be like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you dating your professor who's fucking 25 years older than you?
Yeah, he's a sociopath. Like,
he's fucked up. He's still married, right?
They were about to go get married.
Yes.
Like, Diana and Sumner were about to go get married, and he was like, could you imagine if you're like going over your exes to be like, hey, I just gotta come grab this thing, and then you call your new person to be like, actually, we're back together.
Yeah,
that guy's crazy.
Yeah, that guy's crazy. And you're right, it's his ex-wife. But I will say this, Sam really calls out, he's like, I don't like that guy. Sam says he doesn't like that guy. He calls it out, which is good. And Sumner is a villain. We don't ever see Sumner again, do we?
I think he comes back in a couple of random episodes over the course of the series, but he's not like a regular character or anything. This is exactly what David Brooks did with the New York Times columnist. This is exactly how he met his wife, who's like 20 years younger than him. She was his assistant, and then he left his wife, and then started dating this like college student.
God.
And he writes all this stuff like he writes all of, he's just like very conservative and writes about morality all the time.
Piece of shit.
Anyway, it's very annoying. David Brooks sucks.
I was just going to ask you, should grad students be allowed to date professors? I don't have a strong opinion either way, but I think it's pretty dicey.
I mean, I guess at that point you're maybe old enough, but it is still like a power dynamic there.
It's
right?
A power dynamic. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
It's why Wags and I, when we started this podcast, we vowed to never date each other.
Yeah.
You guys covered that.
So Diane, like we were saying, the plot of Diane losing her job, it all comes back. When Diane memorizes this drink order, which Nick
instinctively
memorizes the drink order, which is, it is a laughable moment, but Nick, I think that we should drink every drink that she memorized for a double. I think we should drink
Jesus
each one.
Christ.
We'll get fucked up.
It's like seven drinks.
Yeah, baby.
Wine spritzers. It's just like, would give you heartburn.
Yeah, we'd throw up, definitely. But also,
I don't want to have like a vodka gimlet and then an Irish coffee.
Just throw up.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say the drink order. I wonder if I can find it, but I want to see if anyone can repeat it back. I'm never going to be able to find
there's
it.
There's no way. There's no way we're going to be able to do this.
There's no way you're going to be able to repeat it back. All right. Well, then you know what, Wags? Then never mind. It's off.
Did you think it was weird that Shelley Long answered the phone at the bar?
Yeah, that was a little.
I think it's crazy. Like if I was at a restaurant and I heard a phone ring and I was like, I guess I'll answer it. There's a lot of stuff in this that I think maybe we watching it now are like, oh, the old days were so crazy. But I think that would have been weird in 1982.
I think so too. Yeah. It's not like writing a check at the grocery store. It's like that. No, this is legitimately an odd thing to do in any scenario. It's not your business.
She's so high anxiety. She has to answer the phone at a bar. It's so funny.
And everyone wants to pretend that they're not there. So, like, families are calling the bar all the time.
Yeah.
Look, we should rank the pilot. I want to say that after I watched this, I watched the closing 5 minutes of the Cheers finale, which I've seen, and I'd seen the pilot before too, just to be clear. But I had seen the finale before too. But man, the finale made me cry. It's such a beautiful.
Yeah.
Norm is the last one to have a drink with in the bar, and he said beer, Norm, and Norm says why not, and he has a beer with Ted dancing with Sam, and then Sam straightens out a picture in the bar, which was like a picture that represented Coach. It's a very, and I was tearing up, Wags.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic show.
Great opening, great closing.
There's one last guy who knocks on the door at the end, at the finale. It should have been the kid who was trying to get a drink.
Oh, that would have
all grown up now.
You bookend it.
I don't think anyone would have remembered that.
Yeah, probably not. But Wags, we should review this, right?
Like, this was before TV was on DVD or streaming or anything, so I think people just, like, forgot, like, old episodes.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe it's better that they didn't do that. That sucks, actually. I can't find the order, because if you search Cheers in drink order, it's like saying like Cheers, like enjoy the drinks.
Yes.
So it's basically impossible. But we should review this in some sort of pilot or airplane scale, Wags.
Oh, that's how the pilot program works.
Who cares? Yes.
I like if pilot program's gonna be a recurring thing, I like some sort of airplane.
All right.
Metric.
How about you do seat class? So you do like economy.
Wow.
Oh, this is great.
I would say first class, and then I would say above first class, you should be like private jet or private chartered flight.
Hmm.
All right. So it won't be a 9/11 ranking.
No, this is probably in slightly better taste.
But if so, Cheers gets zero. Let's do. I like that a lot.
I like that a lot.
But then again, don't we want to?
That's dynamite.
Don't we say? But don't we say fuck you to the first classers too? Even though now I fly first class because I'm too fat.
Well, we also say fuck you to the people on private planes. But you know that's also that's living. Let's get private planes out of the picture.
Lay off me, buddy.
Oh, Bill.
Oh no, he's back.
Bill, are you taking the Lolita Express from Clinton, that's Massachusetts, right, to Little St. James?
It was left in my will. Yep. From one little St. James to another.
He did the Woody Woodpecker laugh.
Did I do that?
No, he's doing Urkel.
Bye. All right, he's gone. All right, let's economy plus even more leg room or first class.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait.
Well, there's business class before first class, too. Right?
Business class. Is that stealing from
business class,
too?
Right. First class.
Business class. And then Delta One.
All right, Delta One is the top, is the best?
First class will be the best. Okay, here we go.
First class, business class, economy plus, or coach?
This is first class show all the way, Wags. Come on. It's a first class pilot.
Yeah, it's really well done.
Pilot.
No wasted time.
There's a lot
time.
Of great jokes, establishing the characters. First class.
It's first class for me as well.
I concur. This is a first class pilot. First class, first rate. If you've never seen it, maybe give it a watch. Maybe you'll want to watch more Cheers. And maybe, hey, we know we got some younger listeners who maybe aren't as familiar with this program. But I think if you watch this and understand the time period, it's still like just a really well-made half hour of TV. Check it out.
Well, so I got to ask Maggie and Weiger. Maggie, you said that this is basically the only episode you've seen. And Wags, I'm not sure how much of Cheers you've seen. Have you seen a lot or no?
I've seen most of it. I mean, this was I'm old enough where it was on my parents watched it when I was a kid. So I absorbed a lot of it. You know,
you were at the celebration for the final episode, right?
I do remember my parents watching the final episode live. I remember seeing it.
I remember the final episode was especially in Boston was like a big celebration, and they were there and they were
they
like
closed the banks, right?
They were like shooting champagne out of they were like in the building above the bar, I think, because the bar is basically on like a first floor, and then there's stairs that go down, right, Emma? I went to the actual Cheers bar.
The Bull and Finch.
I went there like once maybe in my entire life, and
yeah,
then I went
like in a brownstone, but it's like downstairs on the corner, kind of.
Yeah, it's been a very long time. When I was going to BU for a summer class, WIGS, which was a film class, I'd always on my way back, I'd always drive by the Bull and Finch, but it's that's still open, mm-hmm. but the one in Faneuil Hall. They just decided to close, and I just went there with Micus this last year.
Wow,
we had a beer in the Cheers bar, but they're closing that one, which is sad because it's kind of like the City Walk version, and so that's closing down.
But is there will the original stay open?
Yes, yeah, I think it's like a
Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. That's what,
right?
Because it is late. It's called Cheers now, but like, I mean, I used to, my Cheers was this bar across the common, the Boston Common, called the Tam. Have you ever been to the Tam?
I have been to the Tam, yes. Weiger has also been to the Tam.
I've been to the Tam?
Yes, you went to the Tam.
When did I go to the Tam?
When we were when we did the show in Boston. Remember, it's the place that we were standing out in front. We went in there and had drinks after one of the shows.
Huh.
Were you guys at the Wilbur? Where were you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was right next to the Wilbur, but the Tam was like my college Boston bar, where it was like the bartender Lynn was drunker than you, and she's like, "Hi, sweetie," and then she would pour you drinks that were so strong that I would be like, "Can you put more soda in this?" Because I,
yeah,
wow,
be drunk college kids and like leave our like forget backpacks and like stuff and call them the next day and be like, "Hey, is my backpack at the bar?" And they're like, "Yeah, honey, we open at 10. Come get it."
Why is this? Does this? Do you remember this at all?
Mitch is sharing his screen with pictures of the Tam.
We went in here and we walked down and we sat in this back area here. You don't remember this?
Maybe.
There was no people in it. So
maybe
there were no people.
It's just like sticky. There's a downstairs somewhere. But it was that was like, and there's Big Buck Hunter in the back.
There yeah. you go.
Yeah, that was, I, that, the Tam has closed, which I'm very, it like closed like suddenly one day and all the regulars
wow.
didn't know about it. But that was like a very, had a vibe to it that I think that the Cheers bar is trying to emulate.
Wait, you're saying the Tam is closed now?
Yeah, the Tam closed.
What? When?
Like a year or two ago.
We were there just last year.
Let me see, because it was like all of my college friends were all like, "Oh my god, the Tam closed."
I mean, it may have been one of the another unfortunate quarantine casualty.
Okay, let's see. Wait. This says, "Oh, okay, the Tam appears to have closed, but only temporarily."
Okay.
Wow,
it's still good. We were there and. I feel like people were like giving Weiger trouble out in front of it, which also makes sense.
Well, what were you looking at them or something?
Yeah, Weiger
yeah, I tend
was
to
looking
look at people.
At him.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Boston people are awful.
I honestly have no memory of any of this. I don't remember anyone giving me any guff.
Dear Lord, did you just black out the entire
Probably.
Fucking Jesus?
It's a long tour. That was the tail end of it. hey, that's the Tam is Maggie's Cheers. Let us know what yours is on social media. Hashtag cheers to me. Let us know what your local bar is.
I also want to let it be known that, Wags, you remember this, that I worked on I was working on a pilot. This is like Coach working on his novel where he's just reading
yes.
it. But I, for Cheers 2, remember I was writing
I remember
cheers,
your Cheers 2 idea, yeah.
Spelled T-O-O.
Yeah,
and it was the gift shop of Cheers, and then there were people just hanging out drinking in it. But Maggie, as someone who's just seen the pilot, are you Emma Weiger doesn't remember Emma's back. Weiger doesn't remember being at the Tam.
I don't know if Weiger actually came to the Tam.
Did he maybe go home or something? Maybe he just went home,
gone
went to
home,
bed.
Because that was that the last? I think that was the last night of tour. And actually, Mitch and I closed it. They kicked us out.
Yeah, I went home. That's what it was.
Yeah,
you were the one misremembering it.
Yeah, I don't think Weiger came because Natalie was there.
Oh, sorry.
No, I think we went to that bar across the street first, and it was a bunch of us there, and then we went to the TAM after.
That's what it was.
I remember the one across the street.
Yeah, Weiger came across the street, but then he didn't come to the TAM.
By the way, what a surprise.
Who blacked out now, Mitchell?
Well, first of all, we did shut it down, so I probably was blacked out. If we were shutting the TAM down, I probably was blacked out, but also Weiger... You didn't join us. That's the issue. You went home, you loser.
I went to the TAM all the time in college, and there are very few nights I remember leaving the TAM.
Jesus Christ.
My God.
I just left my backpack at the TAM and called them the next day and was like, is my backpack there? And they're like, mm-hmm, come get it.
They're the best. I tried to get a bartending job there, and I was like, do you guys hiring bartenders? And she was like, it's just me and my husband, and that's it. And I was like, so no. Okay, cool. But it's a great bar. I love that place.
Wow. Now, so one last question before we wrap it up. And Wags, we got to get you to the TAM, I guess, next time you go back.
I guess.
Will you watch more Cheers? Wags, you've already seen it. Will you revisit Cheers? Maggie, will you watch
it? Yeah, I think so. It's great comfort food for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was reminded of that, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is fun. But I don't know. Maggie, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, especially right now when I don't want to go to a bar and I'm scared to
right.
go to a bar, like to have a beer and feel like you're in a bar, what a great time. Like,
yeah.
I absolutely. And also, it's like, it is so fun, and all these actors are so great that
yeah,
I just love to take a little trip. And there's so many seasons, so
hell yeah,
I would definitely do it.
Well, there you go, Maggie Monahan. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for watching the Cheers pilot with us. Thanks for sharing all your thoughts and memories about Wachusett Ships, which I'm very excited to try in the future. Anything you would like to plug at this time?
Crossing Swords. Season 1 is on Hulu. Awesome stop motion animated show. It's very gross. It's very fun. And then, of course, where Nick and I work together, Earth to Ned on Disney Plus.
Wow.
Check that out. I want to say shout out your social media, but you're not on Twitter.
I don't know. My mental health is awesome.
I was going to say, a hero. A true hero.
It's much better judgment than me.
I couldn't do it. And my Instagram is private, so don't even worry about it.
Crossing Swords on Hulu, Earth to Ned on Disney Plus. Maggie, thank you so much. And hey,
close out, Nick, a successful pilot program.
A successful pilot for the pilot program.
And Nick, Doughboys were... Everybody, I couldn't think of a joke. Why did I try?
Where everybody does your name?
Where everybody does your name, a pun.
There you go.
He did it.
I love it.
It should have been a double pun. This should have been the double pun that worked.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Close enough.
Yeah.
And hey, to take us out, why not, once more, the legendary theme song from Cheers.
You motherfucker. Yeah, I knew it.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Quite stylish. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?
How long are we going to listen to the whole thing?
Frasier has left the building.
On the next Doughboys Double, we discuss New Year's resolutions and consume those chip-like objects that come in tennis ball cans, Pringles. Once you pop, can you really not stop? We'll find out as we pring in the new year. Get the Doughboys Double every Tuesday only at patreon.com/doughboys.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.